UMBC. Do you know what those initials stand for? Up until the Friday night in 2018, very few people outside of Baltimore knew what those initials stood for. Some thought it stood for a government entity or a bank or a hospital or maybe a really strange TV station. Very few people in these United States and certainly in the world knew UMBC stands for University of Maryland, Baltimore County. But after that Friday night, most everybody in the country, especially anybody who tried to fill out a bracket for March Madness, found out UMBC stands for University of Maryland, Baltimore County, because their men's basketball team did what had never been done in 135 tries. Their number 16th ranked team beat a number one team in the nation. And from now until Jesus comes, analysts, commentators are going to analyze and comment. Coaches are going to watch the game. They're going to try to figure out what went wrong. But many coaches call what happened on that Friday night a trap game. A trap game is a game you're expected to win because your athletes are better. They're smarter, they're better, they're faster, and they can prove it because they've beaten teams far better than this team before. Maybe this was a trap game. Of the millions of people on the planet, only one found favor in the eyes of God. That would be Noah. Only one was captioned as being blameless before men. Noah. God only spoke to one man and gave him his plan of washing the world of its wickedness and commissioned one man to build a boat to save his family, the animal kingdom, and anybody else who would get on board the boat. And you guessed it right. That would be Noah. So where did it go wrong? We're going to find out right after this. You're listening to LJ Harry, and you're listening to We Walk Backwards on Simplify. Noah heard from God. Noah obeyed God. Noah built a boat just like God told him. And just like God promised, the heavens opened up 1,000 hydrants and the earth woke up every fountain as rain from above met water from below and flooded the entire earth. It happened just as God promised and Noah preached. Noah and his family lived on their floating zoo for over 1 year while waiting for the rain to stop and the water to recede. And after a year, God spoke to Noah like a friend and told his friend it was time to get off the boat and settle down. Noah opened the door to a whole new world. He breathed a deep breath, glad to be alive and away from elephant exhaust. When he and his family disembarked from the ark, he built an altar, offered sacrifices to God, and thanked God for his grace. Noah could do no wrong. That's why Genesis 9 is such a startling surprise. It's a trap game. It's the strongest team in the league falling to one of the weakest. It's, pardon the reference, UMBC beating Virginia. Sorry, Virginia. Noah found a place to farm, and he planted a vineyard. When the crop was ripe, he picked the grapes, pressed them, poured them, and drank up. And Noah, the righteous man, drank and drank and drank until he was drunk and drunk and drunk. Now, I would expect this from the villains in the Bible, the guys with the sickles and black capes, but I don't expect this from Noah. Noah was righteous before God and blameless before men. He built a boat and saved the world. Without Noah, Animal Planet is just planet. How could Noah get drunk? It was bad enough Noah was drunk, but he was also unclothed in his tent. And for some reason, Noah's son, Ham, walked into his dad's tent. And that's when he saw his dad drunk, asleep, and unclothed. And Ham walked outside the tent, saw his two brothers, and told them about dear old dad lying drunk, asleep, and unclothed inside the tent. But Ham didn't do anything to help his dad. He just walked outside the tent and told his brothers what his dad had done. Had Ham lived in our day, he would have told all of his Facebook friends what his drunk dad had done. And Noah should not have gotten drunk, but he didn't need a gossip. He needed grace. Hey, Shem, Japheth, come over here, guys. I went inside Dad's tent to ask him if he wants steak or ribs, and he is passed out drunk, and he doesn't have a stitch of clothes on him. While Ham shook his head at disbelief and drunk dear old dad, Shem and Japheth looked at each other and knew what they needed to do. They found a robe, and Shem took one side of it, Japheth took the other, and they started walking backwards toward their dad's tent. They backed all the way into Noah's tent, where Dad was still drunk, still asleep, still unclothed, but not for long. When they were inside the tent, they turned their faces so they would not see their dad like that, and they covered him up with the robe, and they walked out. When Noah woke up, he realized what Ham had done, and he realized what Shem and Japheth had done. And Noah cursed Ham's family and blessed Shem and Japheth. Shem and Japheth didn't know they were going to be remembered for thousands of years by millions of people for one single act of grace. Ham didn't realize he was going to cost his family a curse for one single act of gossip. When you're in a church family, you're going to know a lot of things about people. You're going to know the highlights. You're going to know the lowlights. That's why God's church needs to be full of people who are willing to walk backwards. God is looking for Christians who are willing to show grace to people who need it most, especially when they need it most. And here's how we show grace. Here's how we walk backwards. We pray rather than gossip. If you have to tell somebody what you know and what you saw, tell God and ask God to help them. We show grace when we do something to help rather than just shake our head. We show grace when we do anything we can to bless them any way we can. We show grace when we follow Jesus' lead and do unto others as we would have them do unto us. God has shown amazing grace to us. It's time we show amazing grace to others. Before you pick up your phone or your mouse to tell the world when somebody else makes a mistake, pick up a robe, walk backwards, and cover them in prayer. We don't need to stare at their sin. Just ask God to help them and ask God to help you help them. Walking backwards isn't easy. It's certainly not natural. It's not very graceful, but it is gracious. There is a very easy way to tell Christians apart from the rest of the world. We walk backwards. And this is an excellent time to pray. Let's pray that the Lord would help us to be gracious to others, just as He has been gracious to us. God, You have been abundantly gracious to us. You have been so kind. You have forgiven us when we have fallen. You have saved us out of our sin. I thank You for that. And You have been merciful to us when we have sinned. You have forgiven us and helped us to live better than that. And I ask You today, please minister to those who need Your grace today, for those who have fallen, for those who have made mistakes, for those who feel condemned and shamed and guilt. I ask You, Lord, to touch them. Reach for them, God, yes, with conviction for their sin so they can be forgiven. But I pray, Lord, don't let them feel condemnation. And please don't let the church cause them to feel condemnation. I know You are holy, but I also know You are gracious. And I pray, help us to do justly. Help us to love mercy. Help us to walk backwards. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Simplify. I hope this episode has been a help and blessing to you. If you know somebody who has struggled with some things lately, who feels condemned or shamed, would you please tell them about this episode? Let them know that the God we serve is gracious. Yes, He's holy. And yes, He is merciful. Thanks for those who are tuning in for the first time. I want to welcome a brand new country to Simplify. The nation of Poland has joined our Simplify listening audience. So welcome, Poland. Happy to have you aboard. Let your friends know about the podcast. Let them know about the devotional, Simplify, from which the podcast is launched. It's a 52-week devotional. That is a great devotion to start at the beginning of the year because it walks through the calendar year and helps you to walk closer with God. So you can pick that up at Amazon or PentecostalPublishing.com. Next week, it's into the Christmas season, and so we're going to go toward that, and I want to share with you a devotion I call The Greatest Understatement in the Bible. I'm looking forward to sharing that with you next week, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.